Oh yeah, we are back. We are live. You already know what time it is. It's your boy Cam Silver.
It's your co-host Kyle Silver here.
And welcome back to the Silver Boys Podcast as your favorite cousins are back in session.
What a tandem.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you already know. So yeah, let's get into it.
Jump right in.
Shoot, last week, college football, week three. Week three is always a weird week.
It really is, though.
It's always one. It's that week where I'd say teams are still trying to find themselves.
I was just about to say, still figuring themselves out what works for them, what doesn't work for them.
Yeah, because it's like games like, you know, I wasn't even watching. I didn't really have time to watch games because I was out. But like Georgia and South Carolina. Mm-hmm. South Carolina was up 14-0 at halftime. But then Georgia obviously
comes back and
does what they have to do.
But 24 unanswered, though. That's crazy.
It's tough.
That's crazy.
That's tough. Got teams like...
Look at Florida State and Boston College. We won that by two.
Yeah.
Boston College, you would expect them to, like, you know what I mean? Run them out the building.
Sometimes, you know what's crazy, though? Sometimes Boston College is, like, one of those teams, you know, that they'll...
Like a catch game almost. Like, you know what I'm saying?
It's a trap game.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
You know, if you're not careful, they're one of those teams that they'll be like, all right, well, we got something for you. Probably one of the biggest, not the biggest, I'd say one of the biggest was Alabama.
South Florida. That game was so slow. Such a slow game, slow offense. I don't know. I think in week two, I definitely probably, regardless of his mishaps, I would have gave Jalen Milroe
the starting
position.
Yeah, he would have had some type of package or something. Even if you didn't want to give him the starting job or whatever, he would have had something.
Yes, like he's athletic. Like, you know, he just needs to get his timing correct.
Right.
He needs to get his throwing right, but he can run that football very effectively. He's a playmaker. Like, he'll do what needs to be done.
And he has an arm on him.
Exactly.
It's just more so the just trusting himself, and it's more so trusting his accuracy. That's
exactly
all it is.
Mm-hmm. And so, you know, Nick Saban playing, Mad Dog said this on ESPN the other day. He was like, Nick Saban is, he's playing musical quarterbacks right now against South Florida.
Basically. You know,
that had me, because I was like, he's absolutely right.
He's
like,
correct,
he's
though.
Absolutely right.
He's correct, because, you know, Jalen Milroe had a great game against Middle Tennessee the first game.
Mm-hmm.
Texas, yeah, it was a iffy game, but overall, it was not that bad.
It wasn't that bad, and we know what Texas is right now.
Exactly. Like, Texas is who they are.
Exactly.
They're top five team, easily. And no one, you know what I mean? You can't really debate it. No one should be mad about it.
Mm-mm.
Jalen Milroe, yeah, he had two interceptions, but he also had two pretty good touchdowns. He kept the team in the game, regardless. So, and that's all you could really ask for from your quarterback, especially from a quarterback who's put in a position to be a successor of the last three quarterbacks for Alabama: Jalen Hurts, Tua Tagovailoa, and then Bryce Young.
I'm glad you brought that up.
How am I gonna, you know, fill in the shoes of three Heisman quarterbacks.
And, you know, Alabama missed out on a couple of opportunities, like with Caleb Williams, because he was, like, ready to go to Alabama, but he knew he wasn't going to be that starting quarterback because there's three other quarterbacks coming down the pipeline. So right now, Nick Saban is just dealing with what he has.
Yeah.
And, you know, nothing was coming through in the transfer portal, like, for them, so you can't really – it is what it is.
You want to know what else? I'm convinced, though, too, that the hiring of the offensive coordinator, Tommy Reese, was just not the greatest hire. Because you could tell, like, the offense is just kind of sporadic.
Exactly.
They don't have a good direction of
No rhythm.
Like, you know, when, like, Bill O'Brien was there, Lane Kiffin was there, you know, they knew what they wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
You could tell Tommy Reese is still trying to find the best plays and everything to match the skill set of Jalen Milroe.
Yes.
But then also the problem is, when you're so busy trying to find and make sure that Jalen Milroe has his stuff, you just randomly put in two of your other guys, Tyler Buckner and Ty Simpson.
Yeah, that wasn't a smart decision.
Yeah.
And when I realized that Jalen Milroe wasn't starting and they were starting Tyler Buckner, I was like, wait a minute, like, why?
Yeah, it didn't make
What's
any
the
sense.
Point?
It didn't make any sense at all.
Now you messing up, like, again, the rhythm of the team.
Right. Like, if you want to play Ty Simpson or Tyler Buckner, fine. But Jalen Milroe should have started the game at least and got you off. Because I believe if Jalen Milroe started the game, he at least gets you off to a 14-0, 14-3 lead in the first in the first quarter at least.
I agree.
And then after that, okay, I want to see what my other quarterbacks have for me. All right, then put them in. If they don't still, if they still don't have nothing, okay, well, then we got to put Jalen back in, obviously. Mm-hmm. But yeah, no, now coach is going back to Jalen, so we'll...
it is what it is.
It is what it is. We'll, exactly, we'll see from there. Oh, Colorado. Colorado and Colorado State. That was, wow.
That was a game in the, that was a game in the trenches, Cam.
They had the most, I think they had the most streams in college football history.
Yeah, it was like either 9 or 11 like million.
Like million, yeah. Shoot, I was one of them.
Yeah. Yeah, you're, me too. I was one for the of them. Whole I was on game. My phone. For the whole
What's
game.
It called? I seen the video where it said Arizona. Like Arizona, the people that were at the Arizona game were mm-hmm. literally on their phone
yes,
watching
the game. Yes, yes, at ASU. Yeah. They were. watching Colorado. At their own game, watching Colorado. Come on.
Watching, hold up. Well, not just watching Colorado. They're watching their Pac-12, what's it called? Their another rival.
Rival. Mm-hmm.
That's crazy. Mm-hmm. That's insane.
The Deion effect, man.
Deion effect is real, bro. It's real. And if at this point, if you don't like it, then you just hating. Hey, I don't even
for
know
real.
What to tell you.
That's all it's about at this point. You hating on the man.
But 43-35. Let me tell you something. After Travis went out, after Travis Hunter went out, that had me cut. I was like, man, I don't know. Even
you
I was
got
like,
Oregon yeah. coming up. You got USC coming up.
But it wasn't. I'm not even worried about them right now because we'll talk about them in a second. But I'm talking about this game. I had me worried because I'm like, man, I don't know if they could get out of this without him. They couldn't stop anybody on defense.
They cannot
defense
stop
just
a
couldn't
cold.
Stop anything. But let me tell you something. If you don't believe now, I suggest you believe because Shedeur Sanders is him.
Himothy Sanders, as I call him now.
He kept driving his team. That 98-yard drive.
Oh, my. In three plays.
That 98-yard drive was one of the most, it was probably one of the most Tom Brady-esque drives I've ever seen.
Easily. He's carving up defenses. With quick decision making, running the ball.
He dropped back, didn't see anything he liked. All right, wait, I'm running.
Yeah, like. Yo, that and boy.
It was funny because I'm watching the game on my phone. I'm like, yo, this is going to determine.
Yes.
Who he really is.
Yes.
Right
Yo,
now.
Yes.
This is really going to determine
yes.
who he really is. If because, you know, we've already seen him get out of tight spots against TCU. Mm-hmm. But, mm-hmm. you know, you had your whole team there. You feel me? You had Travis Hunter there.
You had your boys there.
All right, no Travis Hunter. I don't have my safety valve. What am I going to do? All right, word. I don't like anything that I see. I'm going to keep running. Mm-hmm. I'm going to run at these first couple plays. Mm-hmm. Guess what happens when you run at the first couple of plays? Now everybody has to have their eyes
watching
on you.
They're watching you, exactly.
Now guess what? Now my receivers can create. Boom. Let me throw one.
Boom. Come on. That boy is nasty, Cam.
That was tough.
Oh, my God.
That was
double
tough.
Overtime.
Double
he
overtime,
scored him
though. He
both
scored
of them.
Both.
He scored both times.
Both.
Come on. Not a defense, man. The defense. Yeah. No, for real. For the people that see that on YouTube, you got to see what Cam just did. That was the funniest thing in the world. But, oh, man. Yeah. No, the defense, though, they got to improve.
Yeah.
They got to get some heavier bodies on that defensive line.
Yeah. I think that was one of the biggest things where a lot of experts didn't have them going far mm-hmm. is because of defense, because mm-hmm. it's so thin, mm-hmm. You know, just like basically everywhere, which is understandable. And now, especially more thin without Travis there.
Exactly.
But, you know, it's understandable. And then now, like you mentioned before, with Oregon this weekend, Oregon this weekend, USC next weekend, mm-hmm. you know, it's not going to be an easy task. I hope that they could win at least one of them. Don't really see it happening, but you never know. If one of those teams, because USC doesn't have the strongest defense either.
They don't. And I'm glad you brought that up because I was about to. Yes.
Because Oregon, for sure, Oregon, I'm sitting there looking, I'm like, all right, Oregon might just have this one.
Bo Nix is nice.
Bo Nix
he
is
gonna
tough.
Carve up that defense.
And Bo Nix has been in college for a minute, so yes. he knows what he's doing. Especially he's been in Oregon, I think I want to say the past 2-3 years, if I'm not mistaken. So he knows what he's doing. But USC is more than likely that game is more than likely going to be an offensive like it's gonna be a
it's gonna be a shootout.
It's gonna yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I agree. Man, that Colorado game was great. But yeah.
That. Yeah, no.
That was a good game. That was a good game.
That was everything right
yes,
there.
Yes.
Oh, another big one. Rutgers wins. Big one. 35-16 against Virginia Tech.
Yes. Very big game, 2-0 on Rutgers Park. Very, very. I'm liking what I'm seeing from them.
Yeah.
From Wimsatt as well. I love what I'm seeing from him.
I told you, as long as he uses his legs more, he's going to be fine. And that's what he's really, that's what he's been doing.
Mm-hmm. Shout out Rutgers.
And also his, what's it called? Like, he had a 34-yard touchdown run.
Mm-hmm.
Also, his passing is now is getting better.
Yes, it is. It is. It really is. No, I like what I see. I don't got anything else really to say about them. They're good. They're doing very good.
Doing very well. Yes. Yeah, Kyle Manungai is one of my favorite tailbacks right now in the conference and basically the whole nation right now. So very impressed with him and what this Rutgers team is doing. You know, only hope for the best. You know, going into the conference play because you got Michigan this weekend.
Ooh.
So
I hope they pull it off. I genuinely really hope they pull it off. It's gonna be a tall task.
You wanna know what's crazy? They've played Michigan fairly close.
I think
a good amount of the time. That especially since Shiano's back.
Yes.
They played them pretty close. Like even Jim Harbaugh knows that this isn't one of those, you know, easy, you know, like gimme games.
Yeah.
Like this is one where Rutgers will fight you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then especially like I'll go back to last season. Last season when Rutgers hosted Michigan. Rutgers, I think they were tied, if I'm not mistaken. They were either tied or they were down by like a field goal after half.
Mm-hmm.
And Rutgers was moving the ball a little bit. And the only thing that stopped them really was a false start. They were at like a 3rd-and-2, turned to a 3rd-and-7. They had to go on 4-and-out. And then Michigan was able to gain momentum and do what they had to do. Mm-hmm. And basically just run Rutgers out of their own stadium. But Rutgers is one, but like I said, Rutgers is one of those teams where, you know, defensively, if they could stop you, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You give an offense enough chances, eventually they'll figure out a way.
Yes. I agree.
This week coming up, we have a good amount of games.
Good slate, yes.
Start up at the top, you know, obviously Rutgers and Michigan, that'll be on the Big Ten Network. Florida State and Clemson, that's one to look out for. Mm-hmm. See how Clemson will do. Especially after facing Duke, you know, getting pounced on by Duke. You know, they won the last two games. Now, Florida State, it ain't going to be no gimme.
No, it will not.
You know, we just talked about Colorado and Oregon. UCLA and Utah,
mm-hmm.
both ranked teams right there. That's another good one.
Another nice top 25.
The one the whole South is basically going to have their eyes on is Ole Miss and Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
So many questions surrounding Alabama that we were just talking about with the quarterback situation. Ole Miss, Lane Kiffin has that team rolling. So they're going to do what they have to do. Oh, man. LSU and Arkansas. LSU took care of business against Mississippi State. Yeah. So. Pretty good on their part. Oregon State and Washington State, another one, 7:30 on Fox. Suggest you check that one out if you get the chance to. And then the two nightcap games, basically Ohio State and Notre Dame,
mm-hmm.
and Iowa and Penn State.
Two very good games and four good teams.
Ohio-Notre Dame game right there has college football playoffs implications all over it.
Oh, yes. Yes. Absolutely.
All over that one. Gonna be very interested to see how Kyle McCord does
mm-hmm.
against, you know, a team of this caliber, mm-hmm. defense of this caliber now. Very interested to see what Sam Hartman does against Ohio State. So, you know, I have a lot of questions in this game just to see who's really gonna stand out.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
What is it really gonna be about too? Who can execute the best? Another thing is Ryan Day. Ryan Day, I've had a lot of questions on Ryan Day because of, you know, basically the last 2 years losing to Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
How good are you really? I usually determine how good a coach really is on their in-game adjustments. Because that's what it comes down to, especially in football.
Yes.
How good can you adjust?
And how well can you out-coach the other person?
Mm-hmm. And that's one thing Ryan Day has not been able to do with Michigan and Harbaugh, and I'm very interested to see if he can do that with Notre Dame,
mm-hmm.
and because they're going to Notre Dame too. So,
yeah, that's gonna be a tough away game for them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But moving on to the NFL.
Ooh.
So.
Ooh. Ooh. That's some crazy, crazy things going on in the NFL, in my estimation, man.
So, let's talk about, let's go back to our local team. So, the Giants, make a huge comeback.
Big comeback win.
And beat Arizona. I mean, should have never been in that position anyway.
In the first place.
Like, there's no way in the world you should have been in that position. But at the end of the day, a win is a win.
A win is a win. They look like they found their stride a little bit in that second half.
Yep.
Running Daniel Jones more, you know.
The only bad thing is, you know, no Saquon Barkley coming up for Thursday night's game for San Fran. So that's going to be...
That's a low blow.
Yeah, that sucks. That one just hurts.
That's a low blow.
That one just hurts. I was, like, hoping for the best.
Me too, man. When I seen him slam that helmet, and I was
you kind of just knew.
But I'm glad, like, you know, everything came back negative.
Yeah, it's only an ankle sprain, so that's the good thing. But, Giants, basically, we just got to wait and see.
They're just defense doing better. Mm-hmm. Like I said, in that second half, they really, it's like something clicked in them. Seeing clips of like Isaiah Simmons and like, you know, hyping his boys up, hyping up that defense, getting essential plays, essential stops. That was like super, super good. I'm proud to see that. San Fran, though, that's tough.
It's going to be a tough one.
But then you look at the Dallas Cowboys, and they got Arizona. What? They just ran through New York. No Aaron Rodgers and a sorry Giants team. And then now they got Arizona of all teams.
Yeah, they got it.
But we got San Fran. Okay.
Yeah, no, they got it. They got it pretty easy right now. And then after that, they don't see San Fran for another 2 weeks. So they got Arizona this weekend. Then next weekend, they got, I don't think it's next weekend. It might be a bye. But on the 1st of, oh no, I'm sorry. 1st of October, they got New England. And then after that, they got San Fran. So, okay. Yeah, no. And then it kind of gets a little hard. But, you know.
We'll get to that later on. I just had to say that real quick.
But the Jets lost to the Cowboys as expected. With
that was just Zach Wilson. Everybody and their mom knew that Zach Wilson and the Jets were going to lose that game. There's nothing else to it.
I don't know what you could do with Zach Wilson right now. Because even though, you know, like obviously the pressure of the Dallas defense is something, mm-hmm. but I still feel like he could have done a lot better. Like there's still things. Like,
there were throws he could have made. Most definitely. I didn't like what I seen from him off the sideline either, how he was like laughing and joking with like, you know, the whoever players he was with.
Yeah, I think if it was Garrett Wilson.
It might have been Garrett, but I think Garrett like had a serious look on his face, if I'm not mistaken. Like he was like, come on, bro, like we could do this.
Yeah.
And to see Zach Wilson like not in the moment present and actually doing what needs to be done to, you know, show everybody why you were the quarterback and why nobody should have sat you and why they shouldn't have went out and got Aaron Rodgers in the first place.
Right.
You can't. There's no reasoning to it.
Yeah, no. I don't know. That defense is doing everything that they can.
They are. They really are.
They're really doing everything that they can, but, you know, it's only so much you could do when the offense can.
There's no reason why people should be calling for Kirk Cousins and Carson Wentz to replace you. There is no reason for that. You got to be real bad for that to happen. Kirk Cousins, not. Carson Wentz?
Yeah, no, that's a problem.
Taylor Heineke?
Yeah.
What?
I'm hearing, they're like, well, who would come in and, you know, try to, you know, because, you know, it's hard to learn a system. Yes. Like, just like off rip. They're like, who would come in and just learn a system? And they're like, Taylor Heineke.
Okay. What?
Okay.
That's the best you can do? Zach, something ain't adding up, my boy.
I don't know.
Something ain't adding up.
It's not. It's not. That's the problem. Like, it's
1+1 is not equaling 2 in that not. Jets organization anymore. But, and all you can do is wait till next season, or at least get into the playoffs and hope Aaron Rodgers can make unlikely and truly miraculous speedy recovery.
I don't know about that, but.
I don't know.
All right. Well, since we're really talking about teams that we're worried about, what other teams are you worried about coming in this? Now that, you know, we played a couple weeks.
Definitely the Bengals. We talked about it earlier before we started recording. Mm-hmm. You know, Joey B not looking how he should. you know, definitely there's, you got 15 more weeks.
Right.
There's still time to figure it out. You're only 0-2. Like, you can come back and you can get to where you need to go. But that truly depends on Joe Burrow.
Yeah.
And the offense, hitting your targets accurately, doing what you need to do.
Being comfortable.
Yeah. And then the Browns also, real, real worried for them.
Yeah, I'm more worried about this Deshaun Watson.
Yes. Yes.
I'm not going to sit here and say I was expecting him to be who he was when he was with the Texans, but I was expecting a lot more than I'm seeing right
way
now.
Way more. Way, way more.
Especially with how much you're getting paid.
Yes. 230, fully guaranteed.
Fully guaranteed, yeah. That's
Now you just lost Nick Chubb, though.
Correct.
You know, hoping for a speedy recovery from him, obviously.
Just
but
lost Nick Chubb. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, they did re-sign Kareem Hunt.
Kareem Hunt, yeah, but Kareem Hunt's no joke. He's not a slouch.
He's not a slouch. Oh, yeah, he's tough. Everybody knows
but
that.
I'm just saying, the immediate instinct is to Deshaun, what you going to do now?
Right.
You don't have that crutch on the ground no more in a Nick Chubb.
Yeah.
Kareem Hunt, like we said, he's no slouch,
but he's not Nick Chubb. Yeah, he doesn't. It's not the same run game.
Not at all. Not at all.
Because Nick Chubb is more of a power speed.
Mm-hmm.
Kareem Hunt is more of a finesse with speed.
Yeah, like elusiveness.
Yeah.
Elusivity.
Yeah.
But I, you know, real worried about them. Like, I wanted to see more out of Deshaun.
Yeah.
But, you know, still 2 years of rust, you know, still knocking off some things. But it's up to that coaching and, you know, that organization to put him in the best position possible, too.
Correct.
When it comes to, like, offensive schemes and whatnot. So, we'll see. Like, you got Amari Cooper. Like, come on. You could, like, there should be no...
Yeah, this should be...
You shouldn't have lost to the Steelers.
No.
You shouldn't have lost to the Steelers.
You got a pick six on a first play.
Yes.
And then that scoop and score.
That was a sloppy game.
Yeah.
That was a real sloppy game.
Oh, yeah. You know what's funny? That's how most Steelers Browns games are. The games where the AFC North, if you've never truly sat and watched a game from, like, AFC North division rivals, most of those games are very sloppy.
Mm-hmm.
Because they just know each other so well. So it's all about trying to get it out the mud, basically. But
yeah.
Another team that we were talking about before, Chicago Bears. Wasn't even talking about just really a team overall, but more just a field. So the other day, reporters asked, you know, I guess what Justin Fields, I don't remember what they asked. I guess, you know, like what he has to do better or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And he basically just said he felt robotic out there on the field, talking about his performance against the Bucs. He felt like he was robotic. In another sense, he kind of started blaming the coaching staff, which everybody knows, you know, I say this all the time. Being a quarterback is easily, from what I know, is easily the hardest position in all of sports because you just have to know so much and do so much. And when you win, you give the credit to the team. But when you lose, you got to take that L. And that was the thing. He didn't take it.
Mm-hmm.
And he tried to backtrack it, you know, but now he looks kind of silly.
You can't recant that type of statement.
Exactly. Especially a statement where you're talking about your coaching staff. Yeah. There's just, like Darren Olasco on ESPN says, there's just certain things that you can't do as a quarterback. You don't out your teammates and you never out your coaches. I don't care what it is, what happens, you know, you take that thing on the chin and you let it rock.
You know, he's showing his youth a little bit there.
Yeah.
Most definitely.
Yeah, and it's frustrating. Because coming into the season, I'm not going to lie, this is one of the teams that I was very interested to see because I was very high on Justin Fields last season. At the end, they started, you know, they started to hit their stride. They found plays that they liked. He found plays that he liked. He looked more confident. He looked more confident. He just looked sure of himself.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's the total opposite. He's completely reverted back to who he was when he first came in, just not confident, sitting there, patting with the ball, looking like he's about to throw it, but doesn't throw it at all, instead takes a sack or throws the ball out of bounds, throws an interception. The Chicago just hasn't, obviously, as of late, had, like, the best coaching staff and things of that nature, not the best front office or whatever, but, you know, it's tough on him, though. You could tell.
Yes.
It's very wearing on him.
Very, very, very tough.
But, just hoping the best for him because he's one of my favorite quarterbacks to watch, easily.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to say I'm surprised, but a team that I like a lot is New Orleans.
Mm-hmm. New Orleans doing well.
I like their defense. Yeah, I like their defense a lot.
Yeah.
That's what I like.
Okay. Okay. I can't fault you there.
That's a defense that I feel like, you know, obviously we don't talk about a lot because they don't have both the offensive and defense side like a San Francisco, like a Dallas Cowboys, but they're one of those teams where I think they can mess around and, you know, win their division, obviously, because I don't think, you know, the Bucs will last long. Mm-hmm. And then, obviously, you have Carolina and Atlanta. But, you know, that's one of those teams where I think that they could do some damage in this conference.
Okay. Okay. We shall see.
Yeah.
We shall see.
Yeah. But other than that, that's will more than likely be our episode for the week. So you already know the deal. Keep checking us out on YouTube if you have not. The Silver Boys, you already know. And check us out on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, almost, you know, I don't know, basically almost anywhere
TikTok that
you
can get social media. Soon.
Yep, TikTok will be coming soon. Okay. Starting to figure out how to do clips and all that good stuff. So, yeah, you already know. Your favorite boys will be back next week. Till then, I'm your host, Cam Silver.
And I'm your co-host, Kyle Silver.
See you guys later.
Peace.